Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 263, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Unto God our Savior, sing a joyful song. Wondrous are his doings, for his arm is strong. He has brought salvation, he has made it known, and before the nations is his justice shown. All stanzas of Psalter 263. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 149. Psalm 149. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Dustin Grisnick, who must go into the hospital in this week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, we may read a portion of thy word, in which thy servant did exhort thy church to magnify and to glorify thy holy, thy worthy name. And Lord, that is indeed the end for which we were created, and the purpose of our whole life. And we by nature are born in sin and in trespasses, so that we are dead to that spiritual worship, that we cannot bring forth one a good act, spiritual act, and that we cannot bring forth one a desire or one good acknowledgement of thee. Lord, that is the plight in which we are. That is the reality of our life as we are born into this world. Lord, by grace, then it becomes different in the life of thy people. And then thou plantest the desire not only, but also the small beginning of this blessed obedience. Lord, that thou would remember each and every one of us, because we can never be brought to this place except by the powerful working of thy Holy Spirit, upon whom we are so dependent. Lord, thou hast poured forth rain upon the world, and thou hast given that the earth may drink. Lord, wilt thou look upon us also as a church, because we stand in need of that rain and the early and the latter rains, even upon thy church, the rain of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, without it, thy people do languish. Without it, there can be no new life brought forth within the church. And therefore, we beseech thee, as thou hast heard us, and when we besought thee for the natural things, and as thou hast looked upon us, to grant thy blessing. O Lord, wilt thou not pass us by for our greater needs? Wilt thou not pass us by when we beseech of thee the spiritual blessings for us and for our dear children? But may thou come in thy mercy amidst thy well-deserved wrath to pour upon us a blessing out of thy heavenly store, thy Spirit for the bringing forth of new life, and thy Spirit for the restoring to life again of thy own church, a life which does often languish because of the dearth. And Lord, thou knowest that it is their own fault, because days without number, then they are seeking after that which does not profit. But Lord, wilt thou turn us again, and we shall be saved when shines thy face once more. Lord, wilt thou look upon us then in this day as a congregation, the many needs that are among us. Look on all the needs for this life, also the child that must be brought several times in this week to come into the hospital. And thou knowest the needs and the condition of this child. Lord, wilt thou make it well? And wilt thou bless the means that are used, that he may receive in thy time also the final surgery, and that thou may bless it for his health and strength, and that thou may help the parents in this way, and all those that carry crosses. Lord, wilt thou thyself sustain, and wilt thou visit us within these crosses, that it may be not a trusting upon the doctors and upon the medications and the technology that thou hast given amongst men, but that truly we may be given to look up unto thee. Lord, do remember us as families. Thou knowest each and every one and the crosses that there can be, even in the midst of the congregation. Oh, do remember husbands and wives. Lord, that marriage, that institution, that is of thee. And it was even so before our fall. but our fall that has brought disagreements. Lord, wilt thou give us love for one another as husbands and wives that may deny ourselves in truth and that may be an example unto our dear children. And Lord, wilt thou thyself make it well that in the short time that we have to gather in this life, that we may seek to gather that one, that other marriage that shall never be dissolved, and that we may be a hand and a foot to one another, not in the service of the world, but in seeking that one thing that is needful, strengthen the children, look upon our youth, that they may be kept from following those temptations that Satan puts before them in a special way in the days in which we live. Lord, who is sufficient to stand against the great enemy. And they are young, and thou comest in a great, and the enemy comes in great wrath, if he may only deceive them, and that he may only lure their hearts for the world, or for that which is not the truth. Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may look over our children, and that thou may instruct them while they are still young, and that that tender fear of thy name, that it may be born in their young hearts, and that they may be kept from much sin. Wilt thou bless the labors in our school also to this end? Do remember the teachers. Lord, wilt thou give a working together for the welfare of our children? Wilt thou give thy grace and thy spirit in a rich measure day by day in that place to lead instructors and instructed, and that thy spirit may be their instructor together, and so that thy blessing may rest upon it? Wilt thou be with all those that are in the warfares in this world? Be with all those that suffer from disasters in this world. Lord, supply thou from above. Wilt thou look upon our rulers and all those that make laws and judge on our behalf? Lord, bring us back again to thy word and to thy testimony. Wilt thou give in our days that thy word may be brought into the foreground? Lord, that will take a miracle by thee, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? And wilt thou do it for thy name's sake, and judge us not according to our many sins? Be with all that are in the prisons in this world. Give true repentance unto those that have sinned, and give strength to those who are innocently condemned. Wilt thou give us as leaders, as parents, as teachers, to do justice and judgment in the place where we are set by thee? Lord, wilt thou be with all the vacant congregations? Wilt thou supply in thy own time under shepherds to go in and out amongst them? And so may thy word be blessed over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Be thou with us in this afternoon hour. Lord, could it please thee to send thy spirit? Oh, that something new may be born this day in the heart of a sinner. What a wonder when thou wouldst convert but one, and when the power of thy spirit may be experienced to stop a man in his evil way and to say thus far and no further, that will show its fruit in due time. Lord, it will be to thy honor. It will be to thy glory. And for that cause alone, art thou willing to do it? Oh, remember us then in mercy with our children. Help us in the speaking. Help us in the hearing. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 420, stanzas 5 and 6. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. God cares for us, our God is He, who would not fear His majesty in earth as well as heaven. Our God upholds us in the strife. To us He grants eternal life. He saves from desolation. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 420, stanzas 5 and 6. congregation, upon the sin of the children of Israel at Mount Sinai, the Lord had threatened to destroy the children of Israel and to make of Moses a great nation. What was the answer of Moses? He said, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Would that also have been our answer? In the first place, Moses was not looking for the honor of his own name. That is the first wonder. Because by nature we all do. In the second place, the honor of the name of the Lord was lying heavy upon that heart of Moses. That is the second wonder. Because by nature, it is not. Thus, we have the evidence of grace within that life of Moses, and that agrees with a petition in which we wish to consider with you in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 47, question 122. Lord's Day 47, question 122. What is the first petition? Answer, hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. So far, our Lord's Day. And the first petition concerning the hallowing of God's name. First, inwardly. Second, outwardly. According to the answer of our fathers. The first petition concerning the hallowing of God's name, first inwardly, second outwardly. Hallowed be thy name. That is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. And we have considered together already the address of the Lord's Prayer. And now our fathers consider one by one also each of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. What is a petition? Petition is a request. Thus, in a petition, we are asking for something. Do we need anything? Or do we not have any needs? A petition that is at the same time a confession. When we will ask for something, that is a confession that we have a lack. It is not only a confession of our lack, but also a confession that we, from our side, are unable to fulfill this lack which we have. The Lord will glorify Himself in the fulfilling of the lack, the needs of His creatures here on the earth. That is not only in a natural way for all His creatures, for which we read in the Word of God that all nature praises God, but that is also and especially in a spiritual way for the true church of God. That can be seen in every one of the offices of the Son of God. When we consider His kingship, then it is the lack of the ability to govern themselves, the lack of the ability to protect themselves, in which the Lord is glorifying Himself in the life of His children. If we consider the priestly office, then it is that lack of the ability to restore myself into that blessed communion with God, that the Lord is glorifying Himself in that priestly office, in that prophetical office. It is the experience of that true church that they lack knowledge, that they lack understanding. And therefore, it is by the teaching of the Lord that He is glorifying Himself in the life of His church. This petition for the hallowing of the name of the Lord is impossible to be fulfilled outside of the right knowledge of who God is. We do not hallow the name of God by worshiping Him in a way that He does not exist in truth and in reality. Thus, it is not the same, young people, when man says it does not matter what God that you worship. We worship Allah, for example, or whatever God, as long as we worship some higher being. What an awful thing when others would consider us to be someone or something that we are not in truth and in reality. Thus the Lord will be worshipped as He is in truth. Thus the first thing that we need, if we will worship the Lord, is knowledge of the Lord. Knowledge of who that God is. And therefore our fathers say, first grant us rightly to know Thee. That is a testimony of our deep fall. Because by nature after our fall, we do not know who God is anymore. And that shows how darkened that our understanding has become. After that, we were created in true knowledge, that is also the knowledge of God in all His attributes, in all His commandments. It is very evident in the world that man does not know anymore who that God is. He thinks to worship the elements. He thinks to worship the creature. He thinks to worship even Satan himself. We can read of the Syrians in the Word of God. They said the Lord He is the God of the hills, but He is not the God of the valleys. Thus, a completely wrong conception of that true and the living God. Sennacherib, Rabshakeh, they thought God to be the same as the idol gods of Hamath, of Arpad, of Sepharvaim. Thus, how many in our world think that true God to be a God of love, to be a God of mercy, but that He is not a God of righteousness, that He is not a God of justice. That they think to try to worship a God who is looking through His fingers at sin. That just because we can forget and put our sin behind us, that we think that the Lord also will forget. Hallowed be Thy name. Grant us first rightly to know Thee. We have no excuse for an incorrect knowledge of God. And we have lost that true knowledge of God by our own fault, not only, but the Lord has also given to us His holy word. Do we care to study in that word of God, that we may come to a right knowledge, that we may come to a right conception of who that the true and that living God is, in order that we may rightly worship this God that is such an undeserved revelation that we may have from Him, the Word of God, that is not given to all people in this world. And when we consider only those places to whom that Word has never come, and then we can pity these men who are in complete ignorance of that true God. Thus the Lord is revealing Himself. Thus the Lord is pleased to show unto some men in this world who He truly is and how He would have Himself to be worshipped. Why is that necessary that He gives us that word, that is, that we may rightly worship Him? And that right worshiping of God, that is, congregation, the very purpose, the very end for which you and I have been created. Who would think so when they look at our life? Who would think so when they would look, when they would be able to see within our heart that is the purpose for which the Lord has placed us here in this world? That is then the new purpose that the Lord is planting within the heart of His own children in regeneration. Without that knowledge of who He is, the rest of all that our fathers speak of here, we cannot follow. Rightly to know Thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise Thee in all Thy works, in which Thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. We read about Ananias and Sapphira, and that they also had their way in which they made an attempt to worship God. But they thought to worship God as if He was not able to look within their own hearts. They thought to worship God as if He were a man, and that He could only look on the outward appearance. That is an abomination unto God. The Lord Himself says, "What hast thou to do to take my covenant in thy mouth? Thou thinkest that I am altogether one as thyself. But I will reprove thee," He says, "and I will set them in order before thine eyes. Consider this," He says, "lest I tear you in pieces." That was what the Lord had to say unto the wicked among His own children. That is, of course, that knowledge of God necessary in an outward way for our intellect, for our understanding. But even with that outward right knowledge of God, it is still impossible for us to truly worship Him. Then we need not only an intellectual knowledge, but we need a spiritual knowledge of God. When is that spiritual knowledge of God given? That is given in the moment of regeneration. We can only know, we can only rightly know that true God by faith. And what is that thing that the Lord is planting even in the heart of a child that is truly regenerated by Him? And not only in the heart of a child, but when the Lord would take the oldest among us and He would plant that faith in him, what is that which it is working out in his heart? That is awe. Awe. Then our supplication that proceeds not out of intellect, but it proceeds upon a right foundation from that moment. When the Lord gives us to stand in awe of Him. We hear that awe in Abraham. "Behold," he says, "I have taken it upon me to speak unto the Lord, who am," he says, "but dust and ashes." Then our whole attitude changes. In that moment, when we come to stand in awe, then we are given the attitude of a child. Then we have an impression of the greatness, of the majesty, of the holiness of God. A small part of that which will be experienced by every man in this world when we will stand before Him on that great day of days. Is that knowledge of God then complete? No, it is not. Because the Lord is not instructing His people in everything in one day. It is one thing to know something of that unyielding justice of God. And it is another thing to come to know Him in His mercy and in His grace. It is one thing to stand in awe, to know Him as my Creator, as my Maker, as my Judge. And it is quite another thing to come to know Him as my Mediator, to come to know Him as my Father. But the more that that church might learn of Him, the more that they may come before Him in a right way to worship Him. But it will never be a complete knowledge, it will never be a perfect knowledge, until all the imperfections that are due to our sin, the consequences of our sin, until they are all put away and man may worship God in perfection in eternity. Rightly to know Thee and to sanctify Thee. What does that mean, to sanctify? Must we sanctify God? Must not God sanctify us? There are different ways in which this word sanctify is being used. Sometimes that word sanctify, it means to make something holy which has been before unholy. So the Scriptures speak about the sanctification of man. Sometimes that word is used simply to mean to set apart for some holy use. We read that often in the Holy Scriptures. We read how that the vessels, for example, that the tabernacle itself, the furniture, that this was sanctified. That means that it was set apart for a special use. It was set apart for the use of the holy service of the Lord. Even Mount Sinai, in that time that the Lord would come down upon that mountain, that was to be sanctified. No one that was unclean may come to this mountain. So it may be used, that word sanctify, in different ways. But sometimes that word sanctify simply means to acknowledge the holiness of something. And so it is being used here by our fathers. God is not unholy. There is no unrighteousness in Him. He cannot be made holy, but He must be acknowledged to be the Holy One. Hallowed be Thy name. That is, grant us to sanctify Thee. Grant us to rightly acknowledge Thy holiness. Oh, do you not feel the need for such a petition? Lord, give me to rightly acknowledge how holy that Thou art. What low thoughts, what human thoughts that we have of the Lord, so that we cannot rightly worship Him. Rightly to know Thee and to sanctify Thee, glorify and praise Thee. Oh, to glorify and to praise God. Or are there ever those who have a desire to do so? By nature, we have not such a desire. Do we, children? That is in all of us. You go to school, you are with your friends, and you are hoping that someone will say something good about you. Yeah, you are no different than us, because you are our children. And we cannot bring a clean thing out of an unclean. We want to be honored and to be praised. Is that ever your burden? May you ever come and bow your knees and say, Lord, it is in my heart that I want to be praised, but I was made to praise, to honor, and to glorify Thee, and I have no such desire in my heart. And when the Lord may give such a desire, then what do we have to learn? How impossible that it is rightly to worship God, rightly to do that for which we were created, to live for that end and for that purpose that we have been created. Yes, we often sing, and we ought to sing. But congregation, let us be careful about saying that we do it for the honor of God. Yes, it ought to be. But did we ever? May we ever? There is a church that is receiving by moments the beginning, the little beginning of this obedience. And that in the depth of humility, that they may be given to glorify and to magnify that name of the Lord. There is a church that feels how much that flesh, that evil flesh, hinders them from glorifying and honoring that name of the Lord in truth, though it is their heart's desire. Thus, that church is taught to pray for this. Hallowed be thy name, our Father, say, asking the Lord that we may rightly praise him, that we may rightly glorify him. To glorify and praise thee in all thy works in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. There is nothing, of course, that takes place in this whole universe that does not display something of the attributes of the Lord. But we have in general no eyes to behold it. Why? Mainly because we lie in a state of unbelief. Oh, that power of God that has been shown unto the world in the weeks that have gone by. How that the Lord is so mighty in the way of nature, that in one moment he can but speak and the wind and the storm and the very earth itself that is shaking, so that the great justice of God and the destruction of man and bringing him in one moment to his end that is so clearly displayed. Oh, if we refuse to see God in his judgments, how that it is the hand of the Lord, how then can we acknowledge the Lord in his long-suffering goodness? Because we do not see him only in his judgments. No, but we may experience it together in the days that are gone by also. Who of us had the power to give what the Lord has given us? Who of us had the power to make it cease and to say it is enough? And that the sun may shine again in its strength. But who of us may now truly worship God? Who of us has a heart that wants now to bow before Him, to acknowledge Him, and to say, Lord, I will worship Thee, and all that abundance that I receive out of Thy hand, I will use it in Thy service, not in the way of sin and in the way of vanity. Oh, how wretched we are. We ask, and we receive it. Even when we have asked amiss, and we still intend to consume it upon our lusts. Or if we refuse to see that hand of the Lord in His wrath, how shall we acknowledge Him in His wisdom, in His goodness? Is that not all a gift from above? Have we not to pray here, Lord, hallowed be Thy name? Must we point our finger to our nation and to those who know not the Word of God? Yes, it ought to grieve us, but is there not sufficient within to grieve us? Hallowed be Thy name. What an indispensable part of that petition that the Lord Jesus has taught His disciples to pray. He begins here. He says, first ask the Lord to give you that right attitude when you are going to approach unto Him. First ask the Lord what you stand in need of for this in your mind and in your soul. And then you may continue to pray. Let us sing. Psalter 403. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. 'Tis right and pleasant for His saints to tell His praise abroad. The Lord our God builds up His church. He seeks her wandering sons. He binds their wounds and gently heals the broken-hearted ones. Let's sing all three stanzas of Psalter 403. Thank you. our second thought outwardly, and further also that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Boys and girls, young people, we will give you in this afternoon a little trial, a little test, a little examination. Someone says some evil thing about your mother, your father. What is now lying in your heart? Is there grief in your heart? You will try to defend them. You will say, "Do not speak so." And then we know that in your heart is what? Love. That is why you have such feelings. How would that be if your own actions have caused that such an evil thing was spoken of your mother or your father? How would you abhor yourself that you say, "I have brought this upon my own parents"? There is in your heart love. It's a wonder when there is in our heart love, that natural love that is still there, even after the fall, when there is so much hatred in the world. Now we ask you another question. That is another part of our examination. Someone says something evil of the Lord. What is in your heart? Or is there the shame now, as when something evil was said of your mother, of your father? Or is it different? Is there now love? Or is there no love? When the Lord is giving through conversion, then the Lord is planting love. Then we have new feelings that we did not have before. We have new sorrows. We have new griefs. And our fathers here speak about the name of the Lord never being blasphemed on our account. If we truly love the Lord, then we want everyone else to love the Lord also. If we truly love the Lord, then our life also becomes more careful. Why? That name of the Lord would never be dishonored because of something that I did, because of something that I have said. That is now the fruit of that new life. That is that fruit of love that is working And what is working on the inside, that is beginning to manifest itself also on the outside. You ask God through people, how is it then in your life? What do they have to say? Or it is not as it ought to be in my life. That in so many things I am so guilty and that I come so short. Oh, this is why that the Lord Jesus is teaching his children to begin their petitions in such a way. Hallowed be thy name. That is, that our lives, that our thoughts, that our words, that our actions may be ordered, may be ordered. Oh, then when we say, Lord, hallowed be thy name, then it is, Lord, hallowed be thy name in my life. Oh, Lord, keep my thoughts. Oh, Lord, guide me. Lead me, teach me every moment, every day, that in my life thy name may not receive dishonor. The Lord charged David of having given the enemy occasion to blaspheme. The sin of God's church that is greater than the sin of the world. Because of that name of God, which is their confession. The world is watching. And when the world is watching, then they are giving occasion unto the world to blaspheme that name of God whom they are professing. On the other hand, what a wonder when that name of God is rather honored, praised on our account. Oh, what a wonder to be a little instrument in the hand of the Lord in this world, even upon this earth, that that name of the Lord may be glorified. That it may be honored. Congregation, what has the world to say about our life, about our conversation? Is there a difference to be seen in our life? Because of our profession, are we an example unto the world, also in our dealings with other people? Or is the world an example unto us? Are we an example, parents, unto our own children? Oh, for the people of the Lord, when faith may truly be in exercise, then that name of the Lord that is held so much higher even than their own name was in a holy anger that Phinehas has gone into that tent after that man of Israel was brought into that tent, that Midianitish woman. In a holy anger, not to place his own name in the foreground, no. That the Lord did later. He gave him his reward. But it was in his heart that the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed. What did Nehemiah do when on the Sabbath they brought their wares? Then he has chased them away from the gate of the city. And he has threatened them that he would lay hold on them. Why? Because in his heart, then there is a petition, Lord, hallowed be thy name. Oh, there was a time that Peter did not even dare to profess the name of the Lord Jesus. Maybe we know what that is. It was all because of the fear of man. But in his heart lay something different. And then there came another time. The Lord gave him strength. Even before all men, when they are mocking with the working of the Lord. They were saying, these men, they are full of new wine. And then Peter stands up, and Peter, he cannot but speak. That is to clear the name of the Lord. No, it was far from drunkenness. Oh, what a wonder. If we may be used in the hand of the Lord, we don't need to be a minister for that. If we may be but used by the Lord himself to bring honor to his name, it was the life, was it not? It was the life of a Naomi that was used by the Lord for that Moabitish woman. She saw something, and something emanated from the life of that woman. And because something emanated from her life, that Moabitish woman, to all eternity, is magnifying, glorifying the name of the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. The desecration of the name of the Lord that is making this world a wilderness for the people of the Lord. But that hallowing of that name of the Lord is going to make the eternal home of that people an eternal bliss. And then they're going to receive that desire, the fulfillment of that desire that was placed in the very moment of regeneration. That is their sorrow, their whole life long, that they cannot fulfill it because of the law that is in their members, of which they must complain day by day. But then they are going to receive their heart's desire. Then they're going to bow. And they're going to worship him. In that place where sin will never enter. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O plant that desire in our soul. It does not lay in us by nature. It needs to be revived in thy church. Lord, wilt thou so guide our whole life that in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, that we may be kept from bringing dishonor to thee, our Creator, our Maker. Oh, and for thy church also, our Redeemer. Lord, remember us. Forgive all that is sinful. And give that love that will make us to grieve that thy name is dishonored. Bring us safely to our homes. Give us meditation upon thy word. In this day, in the week to come, Lord, help each one of us. We each go about our labors. Oh, maybe, and there are those who are disappointed that it is now the end of the service. They must go into the week again. And it is a long time from Sabbath to Sabbath. Oh, give them to eat and to drink out of thy holy word. Remember us together, forgive and keep us from sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. 400, 1, 3, 6, and 7. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1, 3, 6, and 7 of Psalter 400. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.